Spiritual maturity comes when we walk in faith. Walking in faith will cause you to grow and mature spiritually in your life. See, faith sees what others can't see. Faith sees what your coworkers can't see. Faith will see what Aunt Betsy can't see sometimes. Faith will see what your family can't even see at times. Faith sees beyond that and says, God, I see you moving. God, I see you working out your plan. Even when other people don't sense it, I can see it. Faith begins to rise in my heart. Have you ever received new furniture that you ordered online? Maybe you're a father like me and one of your children decided to order something. And we get boxes and boxes. And my daughter's like, Dad, I decided I'm going to put some new furniture in my room. I paid for it myself. I'm so proud. I got a good deal. Ordered it online, but it shows up. This is supposed to be big furniture. And it shows up in multiple boxes about this tall, really wide. And as you unwrap it, you notice that there are hundreds and hundreds of small pieces that go to putting this furniture together. What does Dad do? All right, honey, I guess I'll do this. Dad, do you want the instructions? I don't need no stinking instructions. I can do this. Dad's got this. Just put the picture over there. Let me look at it. Dad'll figure this out. 5 hours later, you complete the project only to stand it up and to see that it's leaning way to one side. You can't close the doors. You can't open the doors. Everything's catching. Nothing's working right. And you're like, I must have missed something somewhere. And so you swallow your pride and you deconstruct the whole thing. And you go, give me the instructions. And you start looking at A and then B and then step C and then step D. And you get through it again, only to see it standing straight. The drawers open up right and the doors actually align this time. And you're like, oh, I did that. Huh, I did this. No, you followed the instructions. Let's be honest, none of us like to follow instructions. We all struggle with following instructions, especially men, but all of us can struggle with following instructions many times in our life. We don't like it. Today we're going to look at a man's faith that he had to follow some of the most amazing, tedious, and difficult instructions that God had ever given anybody in the history of time. His name was Noah. Noah, you heard of him? Yeah, you know this. You know a guy? Okay, Noah. Hebrews 11:7. Let's go right there. It was by what? Faith. Let's say it out loud together. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about the things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. Faith was a big deal in Noah's life. Faith was on display. God looks around and says, all right, I've created this earth. I've created the people of this earth, and their hearts have grown wicked already. I mean, they are growing wicked in their hearts. They're worshiping false gods. They're building handmade idols. And God's like, okay, these people are wicked. I'm just going to destroy the whole earth and start over from scratch and do it right this time. And it says, God says, I'm going to search and see, is there anybody worth saving? And he looked throughout the whole earth, and it says he found one person who the Bible says was found righteous before God. It wasn't a perfect guy, but his name was Noah. And Noah was the one person, it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah wasn't perfect. As you study out his life, he had a lot of weaknesses in his life. But his faith set him apart. His faith elevated him up. His faith protected him and his family. Can you imagine this conversation? Hello, McFly. I mean, Noah. Noah! Yes, Lord. Hey, I got a job for you. Yes, Lord. What is it? I want you to build me an ark. Okay. What's an ark? It's like this big boat thing. Why do I need a big boat? Don't worry. You're going to need it because I'm going to cause it to rain and flood the whole earth. Okay, God. God, what's rain? What's the flood? Oh, it's... And I want you to build this ark. It's going to be really big. It's going to be really massive. It's going to be huge. It's going to be really big. And what's going to happen? He goes, I'm going to cause the animals to show up two by two at this ark. And you're going to house the animals inside with you in the ark. Okay. Can you imagine the conversation that night with Noah's family around the dinner table? Hey, fam. Yeah, Dad. I had a conversation with God today. Really? What did God tell you? God told me he wants me to build an ark. That's cool, Dad. What's an ark? It's like a big boat. Oh, okay. Why do we need a big boat? What's a boat? Well, it's going to save us from the flood. What's a flood? Well, God's going to cause this thing to rain and flood the earth, and the ark's going to float. It's going to save all who are on board. Okay, Dad. All right. Oh, and by the way, he's going to make the animals show up that he wants to save, show up in two by twos and show up to the ark. And they're going to be on the ark with us for however long God keeps us there. And I can see the wife. Okay, I haven't said anything yet. But if you think I'm going to live on an ark, it's one thing to live with these pigs right here. But you want me to live on an ark for God knows how long? With lions, tigers, and bears? Lions, tigers, and bears. All right, there you go. Got your sticky point for the day. You won't forget that. You want me to stay with that? No way. No, honey. That's where I draw. Don't worry. God's going to make them be tame. It's going to be okay. Just trust God. Scripture says that Noah found grace. The favor of the Lord was found upon Noah in the eyes of God. I wonder how many of us are fighting for everybody else's grace. We're fighting for everybody else's attention. We're fighting for everybody else. It's how we look in their eyes. I'm worried about how I look on social media. I'm worried about how I look to my friends. I'm worried about how I look at my job. I'm worried about how I look to my classmates. I'm worried about how everybody else sees me, and we ignore the one thing that really matters. How does God see me? This is how we should be living our life, to please an audience of uno. One. You're welcome, Frank. Uno. We should be living our life for an audience of one. But we want to live our life for an audience of people who don't even really care. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. So Noah would spend the next 100, you got that right, 100 years of his life learning to build an ark that had never been built before. As God gives instructions, had Noah ever built an ark before? No. Had anyone ever built a boat before? No. So where did this wisdom come from to build it? God was giving it to him. See, Noah had to learn by faith to grow as a builder. He had to learn to grow as a builder if he was going to do what God had asked him to do. Can I just ask you this question today? let's ask all of us, ask ourselves this question. Are you growing up or are you growing old? Nothing wrong with growing old. But if you're not maturing along the way, what are we doing? What's happening here? See, we should be growing in spiritual maturity, not just in age. And can I tell you, for a lot of people in the church world, we grow in age year by year and decade by decade, but if we look back, we're probably at the same faith level we was 10 years ago, 5 years ago. And that's the question we got to ask ourselves. Am I operating at the same faith level I have been, or am I growing my faith level? I believe God's challenging destiny today. I believe he's challenging us to up our level of faith, to say, God, I want to grow in bold faith, but I want to grow at the faith level I'm living right now. Let me give you, to help illustrate this, let me give you three levels of faith that most people can live their life at. The first one is a shallow faith. It's a shallow, it's not very deep at all. It's a very empty faith. You believe that somewhere out there, there is a God. Somewhere out there, there is a God. There's a God somewhere out there. I can agree with that, Pastor. There's a God out there. So I believe. I don't understand it all, but I believe there's a God out there somewhere. But I just don't know how that aligns to my life and how I'm supposed to respond to that. I just believe there must be a God out there. But that's not enough, because look what James 2:19 says about that kind of faith. James 2:19 says, you say you have faith, for you believe that there is only one God. He says, golf clap, good for you. Here's a sarcasm. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. Did he just call me a demon? I don't know. But he was obviously getting the point across, right? It's not enough just to say we believe there is a God. The demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. There's more to it than just believing there is a God. It's a belief that there is a God. I acknowledge there is one God, and then I learn what it means to surrender my life to him. Then that moves me to step two, a firm faith, where I believe probably a lot of us are today. We're living out a firm faith. It's solid belief in Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that Jesus was the only Son of God, that he died on the cross for the sins of the world, and that he rose again. The tomb is empty on the third day. And we're living for Jesus, and we're devoted to Jesus. I believe a lot of people in this room, this is exactly where you're at. You're living on a firm faith. But can I challenge you today to level up? Can I encourage you today to level up? Can I motivate you today to level up? Come on, somebody. I need you to level up today. Turn to your neighbor and give him the best coach voice you can and say, it's time to level up. Come on, you can say a little deeper than that. It's time to level up. There you go. It's time to level up. Level up to number three, what we're going to call an effective faith. An effective faith. This is a faith that overflows out of relationship with God. That yes, I have a firm foundation that he is God. He is Jehovah of my life. And I am walking with him. I am believing him. I am trusting him. And his love has radically changed my life. And everywhere I go, it affects the atmosphere because God's love is coming out of my life and overflowing of who I am. What are you saying, Pastor? All right, for those that are slow, hear me today. When I go to work, I should affect the atmosphere. When I go to the store, I should affect the atmosphere. When I go to school or my university, I should affect the atmosphere. When I walk in my home, I should affect the atmosphere. Walking close enough with God that everywhere I go, that there's something of God's favor. I have found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and there is a favor that follows me. And I don't care how old you are, you can walk in it. I remember the first time I was given a manager position of a store, and that store was on the way of shutting the doors. I didn't know that before I took it over. And every month for 2 years, we had a gain every single month. And the owner came to me and said, "What is the secret?" And I remember for the first time, I looked at somebody and I said, "The secret is this. I trust the Lord. I pay my tithes and I serve God. And anything you put me in charge of will prosper because I walk in the favor of the Lord." I was 20 years old when I told that millionaire that thing. That took a lot of faith for me. But God began to move something in my heart and showed me something. If I would find favor in His eyes, He will cause me to rise up in any area, and I can affect, no matter where I'm at, I can affect the atmosphere when I walk in this bold faith. It happens. Walking in a bold faith. So how do we do this? Let me ask you this question, okay? Can I just ask you a question? When was the last time you walked into a room and the enemy began to tremble? When's the last time you walked into a room and the enemy knew you were there? That you had something different in your heart. You had something different in your spirit. You had something different about the faith level you were living your life. I'm telling you, the enemy recognizes it and they tremble when they sense it in your life. So how do we do this today? We got to find the right supplier. Find the right supplier. Have you ever tried to fix a problem when an appliance breaks at your house? And you're like, "I can fix this." And your honey's like, "Honey, please call the repairman. Call a professional." And you're like, "Honey, I am not wasting. They're going to charge me like $150 just to walk in the door. I can do this." She's like, "No, you can't." "Yes, I can." And you start fixing it, open it up. You're watching YouTube on how to fix this appliance. You figure out what's wrong, and you go down to the local hardware store, and you buy the right parts, and you come back only for it not to fit. So you go back and buy the right part, and you come back, and that wasn't what was working, and you go back and get something else, and you come back, and you fix the problem, except for it doesn't work. Finally, you're frustrated, and you say, "Honey, call the professional." You call a professional, they walk in. They're in and out in 15 minutes, got the problem fixed just like that. And it would have cost you half of what you already spent if you'd have just called them at the very beginning. Why? Because we don't like other people fixing our problems. Do we? No. We think we have this thing that some of us might deal with today. It's called pride. I guess I'm the only one who ever deals with that. Okay. Some of us deal with pride, and we think we can fix our own problems. But the sooner we realize God is the professional. He's the one who can fix my broken life. He's the one who can fix my broken family. He can fix my broken marriage. He can fix my broken heart. He can fix my broken attitude. He can fix my broken bank account. He can fix my broken spirit. I'm telling you, the quicker we can let God begin to do something in our life. He is my supplier. See, let's look at a small sample of instructions that God gave Noah. In Genesis 6, let's look at verses 14 through 16. As God's kind of laying out the design, He says, "I want you to build this large ark, this large boat from cypress wood, and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout this interior. Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Oh, by the way, leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. And put the door on the side. And build up three decks inside, a lower, a middle, and an upper deck. Wow. These plans are a lot more detailed than what we're getting today. Noah didn't spend 100 years on this set of plans alone. This is just a general paraphrasing so we understand that this was a bigger than Noah and his family project. That this was going to take God, and it was going to take a God-sized faith. Can I ask you a question? In the 100 years that we see that Noah built this ark and the instructions that God gave, here's a little trivia for you. Where does the Bible say that God told Noah to put the steering wheel? In the upper deck, where you can see, or below? He didn't tell him to put a steering wheel in there. Nowhere. God didn't ask him to steer the boat. God asked him to build the boat and let him steer the boat where it needs to be. And what we got to understand is, if we'll be obedient to following the instructions of God by faith in our life, if we'll follow the blueprint he's laid out for us and our family, God will steer the boat where it needs to be. He's just looking for obedience and faith. This boat took 100 years. 100 years to build this boat. It was half the size, approximately half the size of the Titanic. And their one man and three sons are going to build it out of wood. Where do you get that much wood? You just don't go down to the lumber store and order it. They had to make it themselves. They had to chop down the wood themselves. They had to haul it themselves. They had to cut it themselves. I mean, what a massive project. But one man and three sons to build this kind of boat by hand, before they had computers, before we had plans, before we had even calculators to help. I mean, it would be a massive job even today. But can you imagine in a time when there was nothing to help other than God telling you, this is how you're going to do it? See, only God could give this kind of wisdom. Only God could give wisdom that is thousands of years ahead of his time. See, Noah's faith saved his family. And his sons had to have faith that Dad was hearing from God. And because they had faith that Dad was hearing from God, and they trusted Dad's faith, it led to them bringing their family, and their family was saved because of Noah's faith. Look at this statement. We're really good at questioning God, but we're not very good at trusting God. We question God. We're pretty good at that, right, God? God, do you really know what you're doing? God, when will this happen? God, how will it happen? The struggle for us is in the trusting. The struggle for us is trusting that God will do what he really said he will do. And what faith does, faith says, God, you've got the power to give the instructions. Therefore, you have the power to bless me through the instructions. You have the power to provide the resources, the strength, the wisdom when I say yes. Have we really learned to trust God? See, leveling up your faith means, have we really learned to trust the Lord? Do we trust him when we're tired? Do we trust him when we're worn out? Do we trust him when we've blown it? Do we trust him when we're emotionally drained? Do you really, really trust that the Bible says, come unto me, all who are what? Weary and tired, and I will give you rest. Oh, do I really believe that? Do I really believe that? Do I really believe that if I cast all of my cares upon God, that he really cares about me and he will take my burden and carry it for me? In return, he gives me his burden, which is light. He carries my burdens. He gives me strength. Do I really believe this? Do I really trust that God can do this? What God asks you to do, he will give you the strength and resources to do. And then we just got to simply follow the instructions. Learn to follow the instructions. I know. Listen, men, hear me today. Learn to follow the instructions. Strong-willed women today, learn to follow the instructions. We don't like it, but it's necessary. It's a part of the trusting process. The last scripture I'm going to give you today in Genesis 6, 22. So Noah did some of the things. No, let's read it together. So Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. How did Noah find favor and grace in the eyes of God? He followed the instructions. That was simple. Did Noah make mistakes? Yes. Did he make some big mistakes? Yes. But he followed by faith the instructions that God gave to him. Can you imagine the criticism he got from the people? Noah, what you building? An ark. What is an ark? It's a big boat. What's a big boat? What's going to save my family from the flood? And you better help me and get on this boat if you want to miss out on the flood. Noah, what you smoking, dude? Noah's lost it. Noah's out of touch. Noah, he's gone crazy. Noah has no sense of reality. They mocked him. You're wasting your time. You're not relevant. You're missing it. But can I tell you, when Noah completed the project and Noah and his family got on the ark, and the Bible says that God shut the door and it began to rain and rain and rain. I promise you, there was never 1 ounce of regret that Noah had for the 100 years of following God's instructions that saved him and his family, his children, and his children's children from the judgment of God. They were held safe in the arms of God. They missed out on the judgment of God because Noah had faith. Noah followed the instructions. See, your bold faith will not only save you, it affects your family. It affects your children and your children's children. I'll never forget the message I got a few months ago from a girl in Bible college right now who used to go to church here. She still does when she's in town. And she said, Pastor Gene, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the invitation you gave to my family. You invited my parents to come to church on an Easter Sunday morning. They gave their life to Jesus. And because of that invite, their children's children's children will serve God. I don't know what you, that wrecked me, Steve. I was wrecked for a while. What are you saying? I'm saying that we got to learn to affect the atmosphere. We got to learn to level up an effective faith. Why? Because our children need it. And hear me today. Noah didn't let social media tell him how to raise his family. Noah didn't let the schools tell him how to raise his family. Noah didn't let peer pressure, friends, and family tell him how to raise his family. And he looked like the oddball. He looked like the one that nobody else was doing the right thing. But he knew in his heart he was following the instructions of God. Hear me, mom and dad, today. You've got to hold to your heart that even if the world rejects him, me and my family will serve him. Even when the world says we don't have to believe the whole word of God, you go, no, 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 no. As for me and my house, we're going to believe the whole word of God. And we're going to raise our children and our grandchildren up to know that God's way is the only way. God's way is the best way. God's way will allow you to miss out on the judgment that is coming to this world. Judgment is still coming, but you don't have to face judgment when you follow the instructions of God. And you can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm going to ask you one question as we get ready to close today. And I want you to answer this within your heart today. Whose boat are you building? Yours or God's? Can I tell you a little secret? If you'll build God's ark, if you'll build God's boat, he'll build yours.